First, though, to a childhood dream of so many, to become an astronaut. The Canadian astronaut Chris Hadfield has gone one better than that dream. He is an astronaut, but he's also logged nearly 4,000 hours in space, and then he's gone on to become a YouTube star and a best-selling author. Here's just one way that Chris Hadfield likes to communicate the wonder of space to those of us back on Earth.
This is Major Tom to ground control. I've left forevermore, and I'm floating in a most peculiar way, and the stars look very different today.
It's not David Bowie, it is in fact Chris Hadfield, and the reason the stars look different today is because he recorded that, partly recorded it, on the International Space Station. It is a remarkable video clip. If you haven't seen it, 25 million people have. It's had 25 million views on YouTube. And it shows Chris Hadfield singing that song in space at the space station, floating around the space station as he sings it. It is beautiful to watch. Chris Hadfield is heading to this country later this year on a speaking tour where he plans to share some of the lessons about life on Earth that he's picked up from his time in space. Chris Hadfield is speaking here with Tim Roxburgh.
Chris Hadfield, thanks so much for speaking to Radio National Breakfast.
It's my pleasure to be with you this morning. Thank you very much.
Chris, most of us will never get to be astronauts, but what's the most important lesson that you think we can all learn from your many hours spent in space?
The most important lesson, that's a personal thing, of course, but perhaps the one that most people would find useful is the difference between fear and danger. How do you not let fear dictate your actions in life when, in fact, the danger is something entirely different? You know, one of the easiest things to do is to say, I'm afraid. I could never do that. I'm afraid of that. And thus denying yourself some portion of life.
Give us a sense of that danger, because you can find yourselves in situations in space, can't you, that are... Well, they sound frankly terrifying. Tell us about the time you became completely unable to see while you were on a spacewalk.
Yeah, during my first spacewalk, one of my eyes was suddenly struck blind. It stopped working. I didn't know why, but I kept on working because I figured maybe that's why we have two eyes. But after a while, the tear that forms when your eye is contaminated and not working with something, the tear that normally would drain down your cheek doesn't go anywhere without gravity. So the tear got bigger and bigger and unfortunately crossed the bridge of my nose and sort of a little tiny contaminated waterfall flowed into my other eye. So the result was I was blind outside hanging onto a spaceship, which should have been perhaps terrifying. But when you actually look at what the danger is, because your gut reaction, your primal small hairless dog reaction would be to be struck fearful, but in fact the actual danger
I would give up at that point.
The danger is pretty small, really. I mean, yes, you can't see, but you can still touch and taste and hear and think, and you're out there with another person and they can help haul you back like some sort of helpless balloon and stuff you into the airlock. So it's something we sort of practiced of how to take care of the other person when they're incapacitated, whether it was blindness or perhaps some failure with the suit or the bends or something. So it's not something you want to happen, but when it does happen, it's better not just to be struck paralyzed with fear, but actually to look at what the true danger is. And if you didn't do that, you would never get the magnificent experience of seeing the world the way that I did outside in a spacewalk or even just flying a rocket ship at all. So I think it's worth looking into yourself. What are you denying yourself in life just under the generic category of fear, when in fact the danger it may be completely different than your gut instinct reaction?
What about those things, though, that you can't control? Because there's plenty of those in space. You're really trusting thousands of other people back on Earth who've prepared for that mission. It's completely out of your control, isn't it, really?
But that's true everywhere. I mean, you know, there's random events happen all the time, and there's lightning and fires in the outback and car accidents, and, you know, random stuff happens. You can't spend your whole life just not doing something for fear that, you know, maybe something bad will happen. I think early on, especially exaggerated maybe in the life of an astronaut. You have to decide for yourself what risks are worth taking. What do I want to make of my life? What do I want to look back and see that I have accomplished that was important to me, and recognize that there's risk in anything worthwhile. You know, getting married is an enormous risk, and some people just don't have a relationship because of their fear of it, or whatever, learning to drive, learning to fly. If you choose not to fly, it tremendously curtails your own life in that the number of things you'll see and experience. So you have to decide right at the outset, okay, there's risk to this, but now my job is to figure out how to manage that risk. How am I going to not let the risk diminish the wonder of what's happening? And as a result, I flew in space 3 times, went around the world 2,600 times, and the richness of it far, far outweighed the fact that I was facing up to some risk and some danger.
Many astronauts say that that experience of being out in space, looking back on Earth, has deepened their sense of spirituality. But you've chosen not to discuss various of the effects that your time in space has had on your feelings about religion and spirituality. Why is that?
Well, I think I agree with all of the other astronauts that it deepens with the convictions that got you there. I think it's wrong to try and impose your own particular set of religious beliefs on anyone else. Some of the most egregious, outlandish, unforgivable human behavior that exists on Earth right now is done in the name of that. And I think the important part is to have beliefs that give you strength and to have a conviction that gives you an inner core that allows you to do things that you might not otherwise attempt, and to see the world from a spaceship, to go around the entire world in 92 minutes, to see it as one unique, beautiful place, and not just once around, but thousands of times around. So you see the combination of fragility and ancient toughness and the beauty of it. To see that is so profound and so thought-provoking, and it definitely makes you question where it all came from. But I don't know of any latter-day astronaut who's had an epiphany as a result of being there. I think it's not like you got to space as a novice and never had considered it, and suddenly it occurred to you that we were alone in the universe. Most people get up there with some strength at a personal level, and the experience itself deepens that. And that's part of the reason I try and describe it, and I made the second book of photographs, was to let people see the world for what it truly is, so you can maybe get a little more accurate perception of where we fit in.
Well, now you've retired from being an astronaut. You've literally come back down to Earth permanently. How difficult is that for you, knowing that you'll never again be in space, at least for any length of time? Because I know before you've described that feeling of zero gravity as one of the best things you've felt, like magic, like flying. Does it pain you that you'll never be there again?
Oddly enough, maybe it's odd, I'm not sure. It doesn't. I see it as a great privilege that I had, something I got to do. But it wasn't the only thing I've done in life, and it wasn't the only thing that I enjoyed. It was a tremendous experience, something that has helped make me who I am right now. I think it improves my ability to appreciate what's going on now, to have seen the world that way, and to have been weightless for half a year over 3 space flights. It's not like now suddenly everything else is terrible. It's more like I'm really enjoying what I'm doing right now, and the perspectives that I've had in the past have helped me maybe understand and see it even more deeply. I just see it as an amazing part of the adventure of life so far. It wasn't my sole purpose in life.
You have now, Chris, fulfilled the promise you made to your wife long ago by moving back to Canada, your home country.
Yeah.
But something about what you've said in the past makes me doubt what you're saying here, and that is you've said before that if you could fly to Mars on a one-way mission, you'd leave Earth behind to do it. You'd leave all of these things that you've now retired to and now love to go to Mars. Is that still the case?
I think I was asked that question about 20 years ago. And when you get a little bit older, you rethink, you know, what you want to do with the remaining years of your life. I very much enjoy life with my wife right now. So part of the question would be, who would I go with? But also, of course, the big question is, what would I go in? And it's an easy thought experiment to say, yes, I'd go to Mars, but the ships don't exist, and the technology doesn't exist. And the real adventure at this point is in inventing all that stuff and proving that it works and inventing a human capability to experience something brand new. That I would be happy to participate in, but that doesn't somehow diminish what I've done. The fact that there's more interesting things out there that I would love to have the chance to do doesn't mean I don't enjoy what I'm doing now. To me, it's just a kind of an endless opportunity, and I'm very proud of the work that I put. I was 21 years an astronaut. I'm very proud of the work that I put in and the sort of the enabling that it did for people that follow, for the two Canadian astronauts there are now, to see that these doors have been opened, that Canadians have done these things in the past, commanded the International Space Station. To me, that's all part of a set piece. And I would have loved to have been working to go and work on the moon or on Mars. But the piece that I was dealt was to help build space stations and to command a spaceship. And I'm delighted that that's what I've been able to do.
Commander Chris Hadfield, thank you so much for speaking to Radio National Breakfast.
My pleasure, and I'm really looking forward to being there in August. Thank you very much.
That's Chris Hadfield. He has the fabulous title of retired astronaut. He was speaking with Tim Roxburgh. And Chris Hadfield, as we mentioned, his live show is coming to Australia in August. It's called Chris Hadfield, A Spaceman's View of the Planet. We'll put the details of when and where on our website. It's 16 to 7 on Breakfast.